Welcome to your Sunday Reader, a joint podcast between St. Mary Parish and WorkingToBeatHell.org. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the third Sunday of Easter, 2007.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the captain and the court officers had brought the apostles in and made them stand before the Sanhedrin, the high priest questioned them. "We gave you strict orders, did we not, to stop teaching in that name? Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and want to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles said in reply, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The Sanhedrin ordered the apostles to stop speaking in the name of Jesus and dismissed them. So they left the presence of the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they had been found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me.
I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me.
I will extol you, O Lord, for you drew me clear, and did not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord, you brought me up from the netherworld. You preserved me from among those going down into the pit.
I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me.
Sing praise to the Lord, you his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger lasts but a moment, a lifetime his good will. A nightfall, weeping enters in, but with the dawn, rejoicing.
I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me.
Hear, O Lord, and have pity on me. O Lord, be my helper. You changed my mourning into dancing. O Lord, my God, forever, I will give you thanks.
I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. A reading from the Book of Revelation. I, John, looked and heard the voices of many angels who surrounded the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They were countless in number, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, everything in the universe, cry out, "To the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor, glory and might, forever and ever." The four living creatures answered, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshipped. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will also come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but his disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it, and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from the shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on the shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Then he said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today it's Father Mark and Brian here. Don is not with us as we are out at the priest convocation in the Crown Plaza Hotel in Rochester this week, but we're glad to be able to bring this podcast to you. A lot of things, Mark, hit me with the gospel reading itself. And so I guess where to start. One of the things that the story starts off, they're on a boat and they haven't caught anything, and they see this man off in the distance. He tells them to cast their nets. One of the interesting things that I always like in this reading is it tells us that they caught 153 fish. And that number a lot of times might just seem an arbitrary number, but it's interesting because in the Jewish tradition at the time, there were only 153 known types of fish. And so in a way, it's a symbolic number, as most numbers in Scripture tend to be, showing that what they caught was essentially every kind of fish. And then when you have Jesus telling them, you know, that they're going to be fishers of men, it can be kind of seen as the symbolic sense in which they're going to be sent off to get all kinds of people, not just, you know, one type of people, but every type that's known. Are going to be caught by the apostles and by the word.
And so we kind of see that in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, where they actually are going out and spreading the word. Mm-hmm. They're actually being going through an inquisition by the Sanhedrin, mm-hmm. because they've actually been spreading the word, the good news, and telling people about Christ and the Christ event. And as a result of that, they are being, you know, kind of persecuted themselves because of the spreading of that message. So you're right, yeah, they're going out to all of the world to take the message.
Yeah, and I also think that's another thing I love in that first reading is the persecution thing. I think there's so much that we can learn from that particular theme, because a lot of times we as Christians assume that our life should be easy because we followed Christ. And really, if we think about it, Christ tells us, you know, if you follow me, you're going to end up where I ended up, which was hanging on a cross. It's not meant to be an easy thing, and yet we're meant to persevere in times of persecution. And, you know, we're not persecuted the same way that the apostles were, certainly in our at least American society. But in many ways, we can find there are times when we come up against resistance, or we do become persecuted from our faith, whether it be, you know, at work, and you're in a job and somebody wants you to make a decision that might not be an ethical decision to make. Or, you know, you're worried about, you know, how do I raise my kids? Can I let them watch these television programs? Should I be watching these television programs? And a lot of those decisions can be tough decisions to make. And in a sense, a lot of people tend to say, oh, well, you know, this religion stuff shouldn't tell you what you're doing in your everyday world. But that's a form of persecution that we face. And Indeed, it really should tell us how we are to live our lives.
I think, you know, it's very interesting in the gospel reading that Jesus asks the same question three times to Peter, do you love me? You know, and he wants a response. And I think sometimes maybe the triplicate nature of it that it's being asked three times is really an opportunity for Peter to really think about his answer. You know, do you really want to follow me? Do you really love me? Because if you're going to do that, it takes commitment, but it also takes the fact that you're going to follow me.
Yeah. Well, another thing with that three times thing, though, is Peter had denied Christ three times.
Sure.
And so here you have him. It's kind of making it. You see the whole thing come to completion. He denied him three times, and this time he's affirming him three times. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. And it kind of shows that balance and kind of shows how Peter has come full circle. And it's not only seen there, but it's also seen in the fact that Peter recognizes the Lord. This is the first time that we have probably anywhere in the scriptures where the apostles get it. And they see Jesus and they know who he is. They don't have to ask him who he is this time. After the resurrection on the way to Emmaus and things, they have no clue who he is when he's with them until he does something and then all of a sudden he's revealed.
Right.
This time they get it and they can see him. And I think that's a good image for our own faith journeys. A lot of times it can be very difficult, especially when we're first starting off, or even when we get in various ruts in our own spiritual lives, to recognize Christ in the world around us. But as our life becomes washed over, and the more we engage and enter into the mystery and enter into prayer, all of a sudden we get these moments where we see it, and you're just not even where you expect it, but you look and you say, oh my goodness, I see Christ right here. And I know for me, those are very profound and powerful moments. And they happen at times, usually when I least expect it. But, you know, sometimes they happen when I am expecting it. But sometimes it could be something. I could be out at the grocery store shopping and somebody stops me and asks me a question or talks to me. And I say, oh my goodness, that was the presence of Christ right here in the middle of the grocery store. Or, you know, at the gym or something like that. And really, once we've trained, the more we train our eyes, the better we're able to see that Christ isn't just somebody or something that we encounter in church on Sundays, but Christ is encountered every day in our daily lives.
I think, yes, you're right. And if we are serious about our call and following Christ, like Peter and the disciples, then, like you said, we have to recognize that involved in that call is that we will be called to go into experiences and places in our life that we never thought we would have to go.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly suffering is involved in that, and struggle, mm-hmm. and persecution, as we see the disciples experience. And that becomes a real challenge to our commitment to Christ, you know, mm-hmm. especially when we enter those times. And I think it's interesting when people will say, you know, when some difficult time comes in their life, they will say something like, well, God doesn't give us more than we can handle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a very interesting statement. I don't necessarily agree with it, because I don't know if I want to put that responsibility on God or not. Does God put that struggle or that difficult experience for me in my life? I really don't know, and I don't know if that's an important question to ask. I would say the more important question to ask is, do I have the faith and the belief and the trust and the perseverance and the love of God to stay with this experience, as difficult as it may be, and to believe that, like Christ, God is calling me through this experience into new life?
Mm-hmm. The other thing is, we're more like the apostles than Christ, obviously, and we're going to mess it up. We're going to deny Christ in
right.
our life, just as Peter did. And just to know, though, that when we do that, we can always return. I mean, God's continually calling us to follow him and continually asking us, do you love me? So the other thing is that in our lives, you know, even though we screw up, that doesn't mean that's the end of our Christian journey. Then right there, we messed it up, but we can get back on that path. And I think that's an important theme as well. So even in those hard times, sometimes when you're talking about, you know, does God give me, you know, the question of giving us things that we can't handle, even if we could handle it and we dropped it, we messed it up,
mm-hmm.
That's not the end
right.
of it, because we're able to continually come back to Christ.
Can we learn something, you know, or even grow more in our faith as we try and struggle through these experiences of life,
mm-hmm.
you know, even if we do drop it or turn away from it, you know?
Yeah. And it's interesting, too, is as you say that, in a sense, Simon Peter at this point comes back even stronger. I mean, before, where it was, you know, after you denied Christ, but now all of a sudden he's going out and he's preaching the word and converting people, converting the nations, leading the apostles, and he's much stronger than he was before when he had denied Christ. So somehow, through that whole experience, both the denial and the return, he was strengthened. Now, I'm not suggesting everybody go out and deny Christ so that they can be strengthened.
Right.
But just know that sometimes, you know, even though we make mistakes, we can recover from those. And I think that goes to the scriptural quote, which is, where sin exists, grace exists all the more.
Right.
Meaning that we can not only, after we've sinned, can we receive grace, but we can receive more grace to help us so that we don't repeat the same mistakes. And on that note, I think we can end our podcast as we're coming to the end of our time here. And we hope that you've enjoyed this episode of Your Sunday Reader and will join us next week. Thank you and have a great day. God bless.